Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling?
The audience wants to see action, adventure, wrestling, and plenty of it.
Big men in tights, you know the drill.
Rammer Slammer.
Next question, Jeff, where are you? Right there.
Yeah.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it! I mean, thank you.
Take it easy, man.
Thank y'all, guys. Y'all were awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said. I don't want to see another one of these.
Welcome to Rammer Slammer. I am Ben Flanagan. It's time to focus on the Deep South. After all, this is a pro wrestling podcast from fans here in the Deep South, specifically Alabama. We've got a very special guest today. Hardcore fans will enjoy this episode, and even not-so-hardcore fans will appreciate our guest, Dave Wills. You might not know him by name, but you've probably seen his viral video on YouTube. He's best known as the crying wrestling fan, or the guy who said, "It's still real to me, damn it." We talked to Dave about that video, the circumstances of why he was so emotional that day, where he was that day, who he was talking to. We also talk a little bit about cyberbullying and some that he may have experienced in the aftermath of the YouTube video and after he appeared on one of Tosh.0's Web Redemption segments on Comedy Central a few years ago. We also talked to him about his backstory, his love of professional wrestling, where it started for him in Georgia, and watching all these southern territories on television and seeing live shows, how he has participated in pro wrestling over the years, including today, his all-time favorite wrestlers and matches, what he thinks of today's product. We cover a lot of ground, so I'm going to toss it to myself and our very special guest, Dave Wills.
This is Ben Flanagan with Rammer Slammer. Many will know him as the quote-unquote crying wrestling fan in a viral video on YouTube and his web redemption on Tosh.0. I just see a really passionate pro wrestling fan. Dave Wills, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. Really do appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm a big fan, and I want to first point out that this is a podcast, you know, done by folks in the Deep South, and you're born in Marietta, Georgia, I believe that's correct?
I actually was born in Marietta, Kennison Hospital. I've been pretty much a lifelong resident of Acworth, Georgia, except for a few years I moved to Marietta. But, I've grown up in the Deep South. Really have enjoyed it here. I haven't really done a lot outside the southern United States, but I really have enjoyed southern wrestling for many years and really have enjoyed your work at AL.com. It's some great stuff and really have appreciated it. Able to view that. So likewise, I'm a fan of you. So it's very touching. I think it's great.
Thank you. So let's start there. What is your first pro wrestling memory?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. Not quite sure. I remember some Saturday night's main event, but I may have them out of order and all. I remember some of that. I can tell you what caught my eye better. One thing that caught my eye was at the time, it was the UWF, promoted by Bill Watts, the former Mid-South Territory in Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, stuff like that. And they had Eddie Gilbert on, and he was managing Corticia Chernenko. And Chernenko's gimmick was, he was a Russian, of course, but after he defeated an opponent, he was burying that opponent under the Russian flag. Keep in mind that this is the time of around 85, 86. Ronald Reagan's your president. The Cold War is right there. I think Gorbachev may be in the office. Big Cold War in the United States. I'm up there, not a political kid, of course, but just watching it and seeing, wow, you know, this guy's burying his opponent under the flag of our sworn enemy. And he just kept doing it. And Bill Watts, of course, being the Uber Patriot, not to be confused with the Cardinal Company, with the car services company now, but being the Super Patriot, I should say, hey, you're not going to put that Russian flag over anybody. And he had conflict with Eddie Gilbert. And eventually, Eddie Gilbert comes out, asked to be for some interview time, and wants to talk to Bill Watts early in the show. Watts says no. Then comes out and says, hey, I want to talk to Bill Watts. Apparently, Watts, I think he refused him, at least again. Finally came out. And Eddie Gilbert says, listen, I thought about watching you. I think he was beat up or they had a little confrontation the week previous. Said, listen, here's the deal. I'm disassociating myself with the Russians. This Russian flag is not going to be involved anymore. The Blade Runners, who was managed, Sting and Rock, who was Sting and Ultimate Warrior, came out. And Eddie said, wait a minute here, hold it. I'm still managing the Blade Runners now, but I'm disassociating myself with the Russians. This Russian flag is not going to be brought to ringside. I'm not going to put over any other opponent. You know, I'm only going to give this to you. You're a great man. And that's what he did. Well, the believability was what I look back on seeing it as something realistic. You know, nowadays people talk about how heels and baby faces, you know, your faces look stupid. Oh, yeah, I'm going to trust this guy. I can't remember how many times that, you know, Flair turned on Sting later. Because you're like, oh, well, why is he getting suckered in? But the believability was what says, no, I'm not going to come out. I don't have any time for this guy, you know. And then Gilbert finally says that. And also, he's not turning babyface. He's still a heel. Because he's managing the Blade Runners, his heel team. He's not turning babyface. He's just staying away from the Russians. Apparently, Watts smartened him up on that. He's not turning face. But when Watts took that flag and said, let's burn it, Chernenko ran the ring, along with a couple of guests who were there who were opting to keep Kolak. They came in the ring, started attacking Watts, and then Gilbert showed he was a heel. He was a liar. He was untruthful. And they pull out this shovel, and they get the Russian chain, and they bust open Watts in the head. Bust him open, beat him up, and then they lay the Russian flag over Cowboy Bill Watts. And Jim Ross threw it, look at that! They buried the Cowboy on the Russian flag! Look at that! And I'm thinking, oh, man. And anybody who was fooled by it is just mad as a hornet to hit Gilbert. As Chirico and the Colossus and Gilbert are leaving, you're seeing fans trying to steal that flag. I'm up there as a seventh grader, sixth grader, going up there telling my brother, my mom and dad, who I'm sure could care less, that was a setup when Watts said burn it, they all ran out. I know this is wrong. But unlike the Bays wrestler, you didn't get the immediate gratification of seeing the baby face make a super comeback and knock everybody off. Everybody's mad as a hornet and want to see something done. So the masterfulness of Mid-South was the next match setup was hit by Dr. Death Steve Williams, who was more or less a protege of Bill Watts. That's what he was looked at. Comes up there to face not one of the Russians, but Cuban Gustavo Mendoza. Everybody is torqued. I mean, really ticked off, okay? Really mad. And he goes and squashes him, Oklahoma Stampede, 1, 2, 3. And so, you know, he's up there, he's jacked, you know, he's ready to fight. And then later, of course, you know, they have, you know, brawls and stuff. But it really just hooked me in because I'm like, I got to see some more of this. This is great stuff. And that's what kind of hooked me in. And then I got to expand my horizons and see stuff like, you know, in Atlanta, we were very blessed as far as being a wrestling fan because we had the Superstars of Wrestling Live, which was, you know, 8-3, 8-2 on Saturday evenings. And you'd see stuff like WWF, Worldwide, AWA, Memphis, Continental, UWF, Power Pro. Later, they even had POW and other things is on there in that pro wrestling this week. And it was phenomenal to be able to be exposed to so many different promotions and be able to see. I could see wrestling from up in Minnesota. I could see the WWS product. I could see the NWA's product. And if you were an Atlanta fan, and we didn't have a cable at the time, but if you could pick up Superstation TBS, you also could see World Championship Wrestling. So you could sit at home from 6 to 3 Saturday night and just be entertained to no end. And being that I'm a short, fat kid from Atlanta and had very little bit of, was far from a ladies' man. I was talking about Venus. Hey, yeah, that's what I did, you know. You know, I was not the Hustler of Rogers. I was not the ladies' man.
Well, you told me. Go ahead.
No, but I was just going to say it was so entertaining to be exposed to so many things. So I got to see that. I got to see other things. My parents, my dad is from Atlanta, his mother and father were here. He was born in Crowell, and he's native Atlantan. My mother, on the other hand, she's from Alabama, Gadsden, Alabama specifically. And when we go see my mom and dad, or we go see her mother and father, my mom and papa, it was phenomenal because we'd be able to tune in to Channel 6 in Birmingham or WTPO 21 and watch Continental Championship Wrestling. So that's how I got exposed to stuff. One of the first Continental matches I remember was Adrian Street and Miss Linda against Norvell Austin and Candy Devine. And I thought that was just great because it was a different flavor. It was a different style. Just like, you know, if you're watching television, you may like some sci-fi programs. You may like some comedies as well. You know, people say, well, I only like one type of wrestling. Well, what about your television shows? You know, you can watch a Law and Order, and then you can watch the Jeffersons, or you can watch H.R. Puff and stuff, and enjoy it for what it is. You know, you can, you know, I enjoy watching Grimm on television, but I also enjoy watching Match Game. It's all a different thing, and it's all entertainment, you know, depending on, you know, whatever you're looking for and everything. With DVRs, I think they're the greatest thing ever. I'm a big fan of those. And being able to see different things was just phenomenal. And being able to be exposed to stuff like, you know, the UWF, the days of DiBiase, Duggan, and Doc, which was really a thrill because I got to see, you know, DiBiase. I got to actually meet Ted DiBiase at the Tosh.0 taping. I got to meet Dr. Death at a Deep South show in Atlanta. And I also got to meet Hacksaw Duggan a couple of times. The Freebirds also in Mid-South and World Class. How could I forget about World Class? Just phenomenal stuff coming out of there. Even though it wasn't, you know, some of the best stuff, but when the Freebirds were out there, I, being from the South, it's got a different connotation now, and that's why it's been linked with, you know, certain groups. When I saw, you know, the Freebirds with all their glittery Confederate flag attire, and they're from Atlanta, and, you know, they're from Bad Street, you know, they're the hometown boys. Yeah, it's Freebirds, and I couldn't stand the Von Erichs, so I was a big Freebird fan. I'm glad to see them coming into Vince's Hall of Fame, even though they should be in any Hall of Fame out there. It was just phenomenal to see those. AWE, you get to see Nick Bockwinkel, who is so underrated as a talent to this day. People don't realize how smooth and how great he was. His matches with Jerry Lawler in Memphis were tremendous. When I think of Bockwinkel, I think of a champion. That's what, Flair is a great champion, but Bockwinkel is also what a champion should be as well. I mean, you know, when a guy sits down there and uses those, you know, $5 words, $10 words, and talks down to you, that's the thing people don't realize, or people may realize. Anyone can be talked down to, from someone with a genius IQ, who may be a rocket scientist, to someone who may be, you know, have lower education level, maybe even somewhat facing what challenges. But everyone knows when they're being talked down to, and nobody likes it. And Bockwinkel was a master of that. And I got to see his master, his mastery of the ring and all. Got to see, you know, Wendell Cooley. What a great baby face in Continental. You know, facing Adrian Street and facing, you know, so many other guys, the Stud Stable and all. Just seeing all that stuff was phenomenal. And Memphis, Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, you know, it was just a phenomenal time to be a wrestler fan, be able to grow up, and that right there just hooked me in. I had to watch as much as I can so I couldn't watch anymore, and thank God Mom got that VCR, because I sure didn't wear that thing out as much as possible, because it was such great stuff then. I was such a huge fan at the time.
Well, Dave, all that exposure and growing up in the South in particular and seeing some of those Southern territories, as a Southerner, what do you think pro wrestling means to the South in particular?
Well, one thing I enjoyed was, and I'm not dissing Northern wrestling at all. I had a conversation on Vince Russo's podcast with him. And while a lot of people don't like him, I could say he was very nice to me and treated me like a gentleman, and I reciprocated. We will not agree on, you know, certain aspects of wrestling. I think certain things he did weren't good for the business as far as it goes, but that we can have a gentleman's disagreement on that. However, the thing that hooked me in was the personal battles. When you go up there and, you know, the Tennessee Stud's trying to take off the Bullet's mask, You know, and he's fighting for his family, fighting. He don't want to be banned from the NWA for life. As ludicrous as it sounds, now it was something that you could relate to a certain extent. Hey, this guy wants to support his family. He wants to go up there and wrestle. You know, he might could be world champion, you know. And, you know, it's not fair that, he got snookered into, you know, being in a cage match and with the, Stud Stable, Robert Fuller, everybody. Pardon me, and got turned on. You know, he got kind of screwed and shafted the short end of the stick. The personal issues, going back to an early memory of World Championship Wrestling, seeing Bob Armstrong and Brad as a tag team, you with Jimmy Garvin and Bill Dundee coming out there and, hitting him with a trash can. I think Dundee's such an underrated heel because here's a guy who's shorter than me, he's about 5'7", but the man could talk his behind off, you know. For years, I'm like, Dundee is just coming across as such a jerk. Then you watch Memphis and you see, wow, he's an amazing face too, just like Lawler is. You know, Lawler can do the heel stick or the face stuff and everything. They both are phenomenal at it. I don't think they get entirely their due. But it's just, the personal thing. Hey, I hate the Armstrong family. I always have. I'm going to beat them up. I'm going to take them out. They're going to be over with. Just seeing stuff like that. Adrian Street, baiting Wendell Cooley. Well, I really can't do that now to a certain extent, but, because of the times changing, it was just, Cooley's like, hey, I'm not going to put up with you. You're not going to, get to me or say a bunch of stuff. I'm going to get you, and if that hussy you're with gets in the ring, I'll, spank her or whatever. While it was a different time frame and while a lot of stuff can't be done now, political correctness, it was just something that just hooked you in, and you just fell in love with it. You wanted to see a guy who started at the bottom work his way to the top. Somebody, you want to see, the nightmares who are, smaller guys go out there, even though they're, right as big as me, go out there and take on Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller to, and try to win the tag titles. You want to see a guy start, see him work his way up and have heartbreak and defeat. And go with there. I whenever someone turned on somebody, I think that's what caught it. There was entertainment. It was a hybrid of entertainment. You got to see certain things. And also, I think another thing compared as far as Southern wrestling goes to some wrestling everywhere else is if you watch the AWA or something, you see a lot of squash matches on there. But in Memphis or other places, you might see some competitive matches. Some may end in an EQ. Definitely at Bill Watts' organization, you would see quite a few have a conclusive finish or where somebody just messed over the finish and you got to pay to see it. You left with just enough where you wanted to see the next week. You wanted to see more. It's like Dallas. Hey, JR did this to Cliff Bards. I want to see what Cliff Bards does to JR now. And that was also at the time, another data reference, but it was just tremendous. I just really enjoyed seeing it. I wished all these promotions were at my back door. I would have loved to visit and watch Continental Championship Wrestling when it was, next door to but I'm a, seventh grade, eighth grade kid, whatever, mom and dad aren't exactly taking me to the Cupcake Food Center at the time. But, that was one thing that was great and everything. What was really a thrill was for, I think, my 18th birthday, mom and dad decided to get wrestling tickets. And I got to go to Cupcake Civic Center, which is down the road from me in Marietta, Georgia, and got to watch the WCW or NWA taping. And it was a trip because I got to meet Bam Bam Bigelow and so many other guys at the time. And Buddy Landell was there. And I ran to Dory Funk Jr. And it was right around my birthday. I'm thinking, hey, it's Dory Funk Jr. This is great. I've read about him forever. I've seen him wrestle for years. Just such a great time to be able to see, so many different wrestlers and all. And also another thing, getting back to, I'm sorry, I'm dancing all around the question, but it's just so many different things as far as variety. When I was in seventh grade, I think, this right here may have been what hooked me somewhat. We had a special speaker at our school. This is what probably hooked me on indie promotions in retrospect, come to think of. I never thought about it till now. But in like seventh grade, we had a special guest speaker at North Carolina High School. He was a graduate of North Cup High School, and he also was a professional wrestler. He also was an Army Ranger. Robert Ross Jr., Ranger Ross. He came down there and spoke to us, and all. It was really cool, and that's when I had to watch Deep South every week to see what Ranger Ross, Mr. Wrestling 2, Randy Rose, The Assassin, Steve Brawler Lawler, so many of those were up to. And I got turned on to indie wrestling, which I thought was just the greatest thing, because it wasn't WWE, it wasn't, you know, NWA, but I'm thinking, man, this is something that's right around, you know, the corner. They have shows all the time. You know, I think even if WWE or NWA is not there, well, I can come down here and see this. And it was great wrestling. It was great. It was well booked. It was great feuds. And, you know, being able to be around and even do stuff in wrestling later, it was such a thrill to be able to meet people like, you know, Ranger Ross and Steve the Brawler Lawler, and be able to call Steve a friend, to be able to meet folks like Randy Rose and all. Just great, great time to be a fan, and great time to, you know, I think one of the referees in Georgia, Bobby Simmons, talked one time on a shoot interview he did about one of the biggest thrills he had was to see his idols that he had, he was growing up, and now that they're his friends. And I couldn't agree more. I think it's fantastic that you know, being able to go in there and, you know, see some of the guys, and through, you know, a little work I've done around the Georgia area as manager and announcer, be able to know these guys, to be able to, you know, spend time talking to Curtis the Cat Hughes, Mr. Hughes. It's just tremendous. And it's just, you know, it's just a real big thrill. It's something that never gets old, something I never take for granted. When I meet someone, they're like, hey, you know, I know you, I'm a fan. I'm like, no. I really haven't done a whole lot. I haven't really done anything compared to you. It's such a thrill to be able to meet you. Thank you for your contributions to the business, for sure.
Well, Dave,
I'm sorry, I'm just dancing around. You give me a topic, I'm going to go for a while. Feel free.
This is great. It's an amazing amount of context, to be honest with you. And I want you to take me back to the scene of the YouTube video. The
sure.
Give me the who, what, when, and where of that day.
I'll be happy to do that. I actually did one thing. The video opened so many doors for me. It's just really bizarre. It really is humbling to a certain extent. What it was that was promoted as a tribute to Starrcade. Tony Hunter was the promoter. He's doing some stuff with Big Time Championship Wrestling and doing a great job. Real nice guy. You know, joke I saw him in Spartanburg about how, hey, the last time I ran to you, I was on YouTube in Spartanburg. But it was real cool to have tribute to Starrcade, and I got to go down there, and I rode with my buddy Craig Smolinski down there. He was the hand that patted me on the back in the video. And he lived in Athens. We drove from Athens over there to Spartanburg. It was real big trip to see these guys. Barbarian was there. Conga the Barbarian is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He will sit quiet. I don't have to have a reason, but the Barbarian's great. I can sit around there and tell you why he should have been booked as champion. I'd love to see Barbarian get Samoa Joe today, okay? I think the Barbarian, if used right, should still be a champion. He's phenomenal. But Barbarian was a big favorite. And we're rest in peace. Eddie Gilbert and Buzz Sawyer were also on definitely my top three. And they always will be. But getting back to Jason Raddatz, Barbarian was there. Jerry Lawler, Dr. Tom Pritchard, the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette. I'd actually been to a show previously. It was a fan fest of Greg Pride in Charlotte, where I got to meet, you know, a lot of guys, Dick Slater, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. I met Cornette for the first time there. The Midnight Express, such a great, great time. And at this show, they had them all back, and I think Rock and Roll was there, and so many others. It was just a big trip to be able to go down there and see these guys and all. And meet Jerry Lawler for the first time. So I'm all excited about going down there. And then we're waiting in line, and we're seeing Harley Race get out of the car. And he is moving real slowly. I think he was in a wheelchair, too. And I'm like, good Lord, look at, you know, I remember it. King Harley Race, you know, seven different times I was in the NBA World Champion. You know, yeah. I'm the greatest wrestler and golf screener. You know, the NWA Champion, the King of Harley Race in WWF. And, you know, he's having trouble getting around. And that kind of, you know, I guess you could say bothered me a little bit. Because I'm thinking, wow, there's really a false bargain these folks, you know, pay for for all the notoriety and fame and money they get, which at times is a lot less than what you think, they're paying for it with their bodies. And it's a definite, to a certain extent, tragedy, but it's, yeah, I guess it's similar to a stuntman. You know, you only got so many bumps on your bump card. And so that, I saw that. Then I saw beautiful Bobby Eaton, one of the best wrestlers of his time. One of the nicest guys in the world to this day. I love Bob to death. He was having a problem getting around and all. And a little slower and all. And I'm like, wow and all. And Mick Foley, you know, he talked in interviews before about how, you know, sometimes, you know, in ECW, I think in some of his interviews, he said, you know, I've lived at the same place so long and I forgot where I live because of all the bumps he was taking. And I'm thinking, wow. And then I kind of brushed aside going there to meet the guys. And I ran the Barbarian up there. And I'm about in tears just to meet the Barbarian. Because I'm thinking, God, this is great. This is the man. This is the guy that I cheered for, you know, who I thought, you know, hey, I'm sorry, Warlord, Barbarian's the man, okay? Hey, number one, Paul Jones, that should have been a champion, you know. You know, I get to meet him. I get to meet Jerry Lawler, who I've ever watched his battles with Dundee and so many of Joe LeDoux. And if you can go back in history, Jackie Fargo and so many more. Just so, you know, his battles with even with Don Bass, Brickhouse Brown, and the late Kurt King. The list goes like, hey, Hot Stuff in Gilbert. And just to meet him, I'm like all excited, and I'm probably getting a little more emotional than what I should at the time. And then we start doing question and answer. And that was the emotional time anyway. A WWE wrestler had been sent home. I think he was overseas, and rumor was that the person was possibly killed up. And that was troubling. And that was also the week that Eddie Guerrero passed. And I don't think there was, you know, if you're human and you're a wrestling fan, it's hard not to shed a few tears on the death of Eddie Guerrero because he was just such a likable character. And, you know, he seemed to be getting this stuff back together, and he goes. And, you know, I was thinking about that and all. And then they did the question and answer, and the moderator was Bill Acker from Pro Wrestling This Week and Pro Wrestling Illustrated. The persons on the panel were Jim Cornette, manager of the Midnight Express. The Midnight Express, beautiful Bobby Eaton and Loverboy Dennis Condrey, and also Terry Funk. So they're discussing all kind of stuff and all. And they're talking about, you know, what match would you like to have? And I don't quite remember the rest of the answers. I have video here, and I probably should watch it and try to remember those. But I know that Funk said, I'd like to have one more match with Eddie Guerrero. And, I mean, the fans just started thinking, oh, man. Because Funk had brought him in for a trial, and he did great for some reason, and then he was blind to pick him up. It may not fit his time. But you start thinking about that. They start talking about the drug issue. I don't remember which order. I may have to go out of order. But they're talking about, and Funk says, listen, if you look back at wrestling and you look back at any hometown in America, whether it's Birmingham, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Acworth, Georgia, Atlanta, wherever, he can say that. That's me. Add my two cents. He said, here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, like every other town, there's a crack house. And this is when you had deaths running rampant in wrestling. He said, I bet you that if we did a study and looked back 5 years, got police records, of the number of deaths at this crack house, you will find the deaths in wrestling far more outweigh the deaths here. And we need to go in here, and we need to clean ourselves up. And Funk, as he always seems to be, was ahead of his time, said, hey, you know, we need to do something about this. This is becoming a problem. And he was dead on. And I started thinking, Lord, he is so right. And then they start talking, and then they go to the question and answer, and I'm all emotional because I met Jerry Lawler, and I met the Barbarian, and, you know, I'm hearing the question and answer, and I'm thinking about, you know, after I've seen, you know, Bobby Eaton not getting around, so Dennis is older, you know, Cornette's knees are shot from, you know, falling off scaffolds, you know, Funk's having problems from behind the mat, that also sort of affected me. I said, you know, I just want to go out there and I want to, you know, thank the guys for what they did, you know, for what they did. I understand and that I really appreciate it because, you know, while I'm being entertained, I never really thought about that side, about how what goes up must come down. If you're 6 foot high in the air from a suplex and you're landing, even if you know how to fall, that hurts. And I was thinking back to a lot of the interviews Cactus Jack did. He was also coming in the door down there, too, about how, you know, when my lost finger, it hurts, you know. And I remember he said, how many of you guys have called up the Dynamite Kid and thanked him for all of what he did for your entertainment? Yeah, I'm sorry you don't have a window. You don't have a house to live in or a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. But thanks a lot, buddy. I thought, I'm going to thank the guys for that. And I just kind of got, even though I was an adult, kind of got a little more emotional. And when it was finally my turn, the guy who was holding the microphone, Jeff, comes over to me and I tear up. You know, I want to thank you for what you've just done to your bodies. You know, I don't want to see another one of these, referring to the deaths in wrestling. And, you know, thank you, Mr. Funk, for saying what needs to be said, because that needs to be said. We need to clean up wrestling at the time. And I guess I just went back in time in my head to when I was a kid buying wrestling magazines at the Time Saver convenience store on Main Street in Ackworth. And I just said, it's still real to me, damn it. And son of a gun, it took off. I had no idea. I had no idea how many other people felt the sentiment. I had no idea. And I thought nothing of that. I later got to speak in depth to Dr. Tom Pritchard about, you know, addiction and abuse and challenges and stuff, and get to see, you know, how it can be appealing for persons. Because, you know, when you have so much pay and stuff, and you're the entertainer, and you're out in front of thousands of people when you go back to the hotel room, and you're not, you know, whoever. If I'm wrestling as, you know, the Mask Invader, I'm not the Invader anymore, or Super Heel Incontinental, or whoever. I'm now Dave Wills. You know, I'm the entertainer. Now what entertains me? You know, do I want the highlight? Do I want the stuff? You know, drugs are rampant, girls are rampant, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's, you know, and that's what a lot of people didn't understand at the time. And I kind of, I'm not making excuses, but I could see where it's something that people could fall into, especially dealing with chronic pain. My mother's got chronic pain issues, you know. Yes, I have no problem with cannabis oil being sold in Georgia. I'm fine for medical marijuana usage. If release pain, go for it, everything. And the government needs to get with the times on that. And while I'm not going to use, if you got glaucoma, it's just not my place to go ahead if there's relief for you. That's just me speaking, not speaking for anybody else. But when you get right down to it, it took off. Later, I'm on a tape trading message board talking with a friend of mine. I'm a DVD trader, tape trader, whatever. That's how I've amassed a large collection of Continental and Memphis and stuff like that. And I noticed the person I was communicating with, Ace, had in their signature line, it's still real to me, damn it. And I go, great line, man. I've used that before. They're like, have you seen the video? The video. Oh, damn it. I said, someone's found a video. So I go to Highspot's website, see the video. Now, I don't know who did it, but High Spot, some of the guys there said, hey, we felt the sentiment, it was passionate. So they put it on there by buying a ticket, you know. They get rights to your likeness to, you know, use you and promote the video if they so feel like it. I found out I was in the back cover of the DVD that way, which is fine. I'm fine. They've been cool to me, and I'm cool with them. But I see the video. Apparently someone found humor in it, who probably was not a Southern wrestling fan, and spliced it to where it looks like I'm a guy who thinks wrestling is shoot. And that I'm crying because I've just found out that it's not quote-unquote real. At the end of the day, you know, let's just be real. If you've been to a match, you see a guy throw a dropkick, kicking this by an inch, you know there's something going on with it. You know they're working. But at the same time, while it may not be real as in outcomes are predetermined, it definitely is real as in the sacrifices these guys give up for their bodies. it definitely is real because of the pain they endure, because of, you know, you may get a, Ben, you might go out there and, you know, God forbid it happens, but, you know, roll your ankle or something and have to have, you know, some therapy or some surgery. That may bother you for a while for the rest of your life. These guys are putting themselves in places where that could happen at any given moment and the percentage goes up. They have to deal with things. You know, I go to my chiropractor on a regular basis. I don't see how some of these guys aren't going every week just because of what punishment they're taking out. I understand the idea of, hey, you got to give the fans more for their money. You got to be able to, you know, do the cure your honest stuff. But doggone, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we want you around when you're 50. I want to be able to shake your hand and say, man, thank you for everything you did. But, you know, I don't want to see, you know, totally messed up. But getting back to that, you know, I found other videos out there. Apparently Jimmy Kimmel found it too. Played it, it's all over there. I found on the WrestleCrap board, I was a topic of discussion, which was interesting. I went out there and I guess you'd say, maybe not came out of the closet, maybe came out of the ring. I don't know, came out of the ring. I don't know. And said, yeah, that's me. They're like, we don't believe you. I'm like, okay, whatever. There's a picture of me. Not everybody's coming out to confess who it is. And it finally happens. Everything's cool, you know. But it's just really cool. The Kimmel folks contacted me and asked me would I come on the show. I wasn't against it, per se. But I think the question they asked me, hey, if we brought a bunch of wrestlers, do you think that'd happen again? I'm like, well, probably doubtful. Well, that was a moment in time, you know. Well, what if we did this? I go, well, I'm not for sure. It wasn't something that was, I wasn't working. It wasn't something I generated, you know, just out of the blue. And, you know, it's not something I could cry on cue, you know. But we discussed it, and I wasn't being a marker myself because I had a very good job in project management, which I've been doing for quite a few years. And I was at the Emory Clinics, a fantastic medical facility in Atlanta. And we had a lot of inspections going on. I'm like, I can't come tomorrow or this week. I had the March inspection. And when I kind of let them realize that I really wasn't somebody who's going to go down there and be a nut or something, I think the interest, you know, kind of waned or whatever. So, but that's okay. I'm cool with that. If they want me, hey, I'll fly out there. I'll get an In-N-Out Burger in Los Angeles. And I think Kimmel's great. But that's what happened. Dave Meltzer later wrote in the Observer about how they were doing a story on the biggest wrestling fan in America. And he was under consideration. But when they found out he was a writer, why he was a fan, he seemed a little too normal for him. And they picked some yahoo who loved the Junkyard Dog in Louisiana or something. So, hey, if I'm in the same category as Dave Meltzer, that's okay as far as that goes. But then a few years later, anyway, that was about when the thing happened. It was back about 2006. By 2010, Tosh.0 contacts me, and hey, you want to fly me out? I'd done some research. I'd heard about Tosh.0, but I told him I wanted to make sure that it wasn't anything derogatory. It was something. I'll have fun with it, but I'm not going to, you know, make fun of dead wrestlers or anything. I was disappointed when Tosh.0 made a little comment about, when Daniel Tosh made a comment about Owen Hart. I know where they're coming from. They're thinking, well, you know, he was doing it, you know, because he, you know, thought a lot about it, but he kind of took away from that segment. But I got to go out there and have a good time with him. Tosh was super nice to me. He's a great guy. Just to be able to sit around and do the filming with Tosh and Coco Ware and Sergeant Slaughter. Hey, he's G.I. Joe. I got to meet G.I. Joe. This is great, you know. And the Million Dollar Man, who I was one of the first guys I was a fan of. You know, it was just phenomenal, you know. It was such a blessing I was able to do. I've been afforded quite a few blessings. I mean, when I was contacted by Southern Championship Wrestling out of North Carolina to do a ring announcing gig, it was great because they said, we want you to come announce a couple of main event matches. And one guy actually made a sign for me, which was flattering to no end. But I got to, you know, do a little ring announcing of the Powers of Pain against against the Midnight Express, and then I got to go out there and ring announce Jerry Lawler against the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And
Jerry Lawler cut a promo on me there, and I'm thinking, this is so fantastic that I can, you know, be there. And, you know, I'm thinking, who all has Jerry Lawler cut a promo on? Jackie Fargo, Tommy Gilbert, Eddie Gilbert, Don Bass, Superstar Dundee. The list goes on and on and on and on. Jimmy Hart, you know, Brother Ernest Angel, whoever. You know, it was just unreal to be able to experience that. When I went to Tosh Photo to sit around for lunch and hang out with Coco Beware and Slaughter and DiBiase and eat enchiladas with these guys. If I pass away tomorrow, I've lived a fantastic life as far as that goes. It was just tremendous to be able to do that. And it's just phenomenal, the notoriety that gave me where I could, you know, do certain things. It's humbling, too, because I went to a fan fest one time. I run the Dutch Mantel. Phenomenal talent. If you haven't watched Memphis or Continental and just see Uncle Zeb, you're missing out on so much. It's not funny. And you should be ashamed of yourself. You should go on YouTube, get some DVDs, learn about Dutch Mantel, and see just what kind of a guy the Dutchman it was and, you know, the character, which was just fantastic. I go in to get a picture with Dutch Mantel. I purchased the picture as a package at the fan fest. There's Dutch, and he's like, I need a picture with you because my daughter saw you and Jimmy Kimmel. Dutch Mantel wants a picture with me. I'm like, wow, I'm marking out, you know, to a certain extent. It's just tremendous. Guys, one of the guys who I watched on the show, you know, some of the first Continental shows, he wants a picture with me. I haven't done anything. This guy is, you know, the viral video phenomenon is amazing, you know. Justin Roberts, it's just really weird to meet guys who you've grown up watching, who you're seeing now, who are stars. When you have wrestlers say, "Hey, real big fan of you, I gotta have a picture with you," it's unreal, and I feel totally humbled by that because I'm like, all I did was just, you know, break up on camera. Yeah, how would you like to have it? Let's say you're at a football game, Ben. You're at a you Alabama fan?
Yeah.
Okay, you're Alabama fan. You're at Alabama Auburn game. They have that a remarkable come from behind victory. It's some big game, and they're number one in America and all. And the camera zooms in on you, and you know, and you're crying, and you become the crying football fan. They have no idea. Or if someone's over there, fan of somebody else or something, and they zoom in on them, and they got their finger up their nose, and they're picking a booger. They're not the booger picker. With the age of viral videos, you have now, you know, a billion correspondents for YouTube. What's amazing is I'll go on certain discussion boards, or I don't do it regularly now, but when it came out, it was fascinating to me, that I'll see people who will judge my intelligence, my ethics, my whatever, by a 30-second clip of my life that may or may not be all about me. Is it part of me? Hell yeah, I'm not going to shy away from it. I am a wrestling fan. I'm an old-school wrestling fan. I'm a Southern wrestling fan. And yeah, I'm an Alabama, Continental. I'm a Georgia. I'm a USWA Memphis world-class UWF Mid-South wrestling fan. You know, world championship wrestling. Absolutely. But it's not all about me, but it's to see how the dehumanization through viral videos is fascinating. How it's creating stars left and right, and also, you know, it may make a star, but at the same time, too, some of the viral stuff will tear down someone, too. You see people who are, you know, blasted by certain viral videos that go out of them. You know, look at poor, you know, William Hung. He's on American Idol. He was on American Idol. That's not exactly the best time, but, you know, the Tron guy or something. I don't know how people judge them, but it's just, you know, I always think that it's a little bit different to see exactly what someone's like as opposed to what you picture them. I met some guys who I thought would be really nice guys who weren't. I met some guys who I thought would be really big jerks, but they weren't. It's just, the viral video phenomenon is just amazing, too. You know, I'm getting off on a different subject, chasing rabbits again.
Well, I want to ask you about that.
Sure.
Do you feel like you've seen the other side of it? I mean, obviously, it's given you so many opportunities, but do you feel like you just said, that you've been torn down at all as a result of the viral video?
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to get into my little soapbox here because I can and because I want to. it's disturbing to me how in an age of viral videos, of social media, if someone wants to pick on me, that's fine. I'm a grown man. I have a sense of humor. I can laugh at myself. Hey, guess what? Okay, I cried at a wrestling match. If that's the worst thing you're saying to me, that's cool, okay? I can take it. I got broad shoulders. I was a nerd in school, and I'm probably still a nerd today. And if you want to pick at me, that's okay. It's not something I'm not used to. I probably was so out of it, I didn't recognize you were picking on me when I was in school. But a lot of kids today can't handle it. They have challenges. I think it's just horrible that kids are outed for their sexuality on Facebook or something, or they're outed for being transgender on there, and they're picked on, and it leads them to suicide. When you're a teenager, you know your social circle, your peers are one of the biggest things in your life. I never had a super large group of friends and everything. I never really did. But it's just, to see that, that's just atrocious. And I think that should be stopped. I don't like cyberbullying. I think that's wrong. And maybe we should be ashamed of themselves, because that's just so uncalled for to do. If someone's picking on me, at least you're not picking on somebody else. I even told Tosh, hey, I read a lot of stuff about me on the internet. That I'm, a 40-year-old virgin sitting in my mom's basement eating Cheetos and everything. Well, mom and dad never have a basement. The other part's ludicrous. I've had quite a few girlfriends and wives. Well, wife, I should say. Married, happily divorced. But, I have a girlfriend who's sweet. But at the same time, and, Cheetos, while the jalapeno ones are good, I'm not the biggest fan of the other ones. But when you get right down to it, yeah, they can say whatever. They could, a lot of times it's a derogatory slur about my sexual orientation, or that I must be some kind of idiot or something, or I'm one of those redneck wrestling fans. I think I'm a little more socially progressive than that. But whatever. Whatever. But, I feel if it was other people, other kids out there, or if I was, I don't think I would have ever went out and, cost myself my life, but, if that's all you got, a lot of people, you never really know what someone's going through. You can talk to someone and they'll say, when I was in high school, I hated every day. I hated myself. I just wanted to die. And you would have no idea. They're the ones picking on you. You have no idea. I have seen the other side, absolutely. But as far as me, I take it with a grain of salt. I've had too much good than bad happen. If someone wants to say bad stuff about me, that's cool. Guess what? They don't pay my salary. The sun definitely don't set and rise on what they think about me. And to be honest, I really could give a damn about most people's opinion of me. But the people who are my friends, the people who are nice to me, I care. That's nice. It's really humbling. It can be awkward at times when I walk into Cat and D's and I've seen you on Tosh.0. Hey, I wouldn't know this person had cable or rabbit ears, But, there's me being judgmental, But when they're nice to me, I'm nice back. And, as with all I've been blessed with able to meet so many stars and have so many fans come to say, I really appreciate you. You summed it up for me. I had no idea how many folks are doing it. Or have any folks felt the way I did? How many folks felt, it's the room, and they long for a day of that. I've said before that when wrestling's done well, wrestling is a hybrid of entertainment. Let's look at wrestling here. What kind of aspects of entertainment can you get in pro wrestling? Definitely drama. Drama that, if it's good, you could put up there with some of your dramatic shows. I don't know. Dallas or whatever, but if you get an ongoing storyline that really hooks you in, something that you're really into, you get drama. You get physicality. Like something you see in football or something. Like something you see, in boxing or MMA. You get competition, like you might see in a college football or a pro football game or a baseball game. You get, struggles between different classes, rich and poor, a light and dislight. You have your ultimate villains, your ultimate good guys. You get acrobatic action. If you were to go to somewhere like the circus at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, how much would that cost to get in there? What's the price of the circus ticket now over in Batman? What would that be, $20, $30? I don't know. You're sitting on the front row for $10 at some stuff, and guys are performing acrobatic moves right in front of you that you'd be paying a lot of money if they were on a trapeze. But from the drama to the physicality to the storyline to the athletic prowess, you're seeing all these aspects for a reasonable price. You can let the whole family in for under $20, $30 at the independent show. Or even at a WWF show, you know, you can get, you know, these tickets, $150 to get you some tickets and the cheap seats, and, you know, your concessions are going to be high, but it's about a reasonable entertainment. And when it's done good, there's not a lot of stuff better. I can watch Lawler and Dundee and listen to the great Lance Russell for hours, and I'll be thoroughly entertained. When it's done bad, there's not a whole lot worse, my brother. Not a whole lot worse.
Well, tell me what you think about today's product. I mean, whether it's WWE or some of the smaller companies like Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan, or even the indie companies, what do you like about what you see today?
Number one, I'm still a fan as far as I want to see the guys who are starting out make it, okay? Unfortunately, your main thing is WWF nowadays, WWE. That's what you're going to see that's going to make it. I want to see the guys get to the top and everything. Ring of Honor's coming along. They're not there yet. TNA, they've had some challenges. But it's great just to see some of the guys. Every guy is just, a lot of the wrestlers are just so respectful and so nice to say, hey, man, love the video, love Tosh. You know, hey, can I get a picture? You're a great fan, man. And it's touching because I appreciate them, and I want to see them do nothing but the best. I think EC3 is fantastic. I got to see him at a show in Spartanburg recently. BJ Whitmer is always such a nice guy to me. He's always been a wonderful man, wonderful human being, in Ring of Honor and all. Stokely Hathaway, great little manager. I get a kick out of him. I want to see him go as far as he can ever go in wrestling. Do I watch as much of these products? No, I watch some WWE. I'll fast forward through it. I enjoy NXT. I enjoy seeing a guy that I saw at WWA4, Mr. Hughes, at the training center in Atlanta. And yeah, I got to see UHA Nation started over there, who's now Apollo Crews in NXT. And he's doing great. I thought he was phenomenal the first few matches I saw him. And a lot of the guys there, Jonathan Gresham's getting a shot in Ring of Honor. I think Otison, who's been working there with it, is going to really, really be a big impact soon. I'm really impressed with him. Black Baron, I've long time thought he was fantastic. So many more I'm forgetting offhand. But I've really enjoyed seeing those guys just go up there and get bigger and make it. I've enjoyed seeing that. I do enjoy seeing WWE. I don't think that their pulse is where it needs to be on exactly the right. I don't think their pulse is on the where it exactly needs to be. But as far as, you know, some of the smaller groups, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I enjoy it. The indie groups around Georgia, I think the world of Peach State Wrestling with Shane Knowles, who is the promoter over there, he's always been great to me. He actually allowed me to manage on the shows over there, or to be commissioner, and we did a run with the Exotic Ones with me as their manager. We stirred up a lot of controversy and got to cut Chick Donovan's hair and all kind of stuff. It was just a total treat to be able to do that and be a heel and to go up there and to go all heel and everything. No, I'm not signing autographs. No, I'm a disreputable jerk. I'm not going to do that, you know. And to go in there and, you know, make people believe. People still hate the heels over there. And the guys who I got to work with, like Simon Sermon, like Tommy Too Much, like Stoney Hooker, like Rick Michaels, who was tremendous. One of the greatest compliments ever paid to me in wrestling, I feel, was once time when Rick Michaels and I were at a show, and he looked around and he said, Dave, can I bounce an idea off of you? I said, yes, sir. Can I see you back here? And he had a little office in the shower area. He said, hey, I want to bounce a couple ideas off of you. I said, why me, Rick? You got so many other guys. He said, well,
they're good, but I trust your opinion. That was so, so humbling to me that Rick would say something that nice. And he's been in the business so long and been an NWA world champion and a successful booker in the Georgia area. It really touched me. Rick's a great man, great guy, great friend. To be able to see Nigel Sherrod, a great guy, Tyson Dean, so many different other folks I've really enjoyed seeing. Shane Marks, the list goes on and on. Jimmy Rave. I'm glad to see Tyson Dean getting a shot here in Georgia. I love Russell Birmingham when they were doing it. Love the Continental Reunion shows. Those were fantastic. Love getting to see your Robert Fuller. I got to meet Ron Gossett, Ronnie P. Gossett, in Birmingham before he passed away and all. He's just a man who just goes stir it up, and you can't stand the guy, but he was just phenomenal.
Dave, before we go, let's do a quick lightning round of some of your all-time favorite stuff. Is that okay?
Sure.
All-time favorite match ever.
All-time favorite match. The first one that pops in my head, there have been so many, it's not funny, but one of the ones that I really enjoyed, and I know some people are going to be shocked at it, but I thought when the Pitbulls and ECW took on Raven and Steve Richards was fantastic. Because you had a thing where I think the Pitbulls had to split up if they lose. They had plenty of stipulations on it. It was probably overstipulated. But to see that, and then they had a choke slam in the match. They had outlawed the choke slam. Bill Alfonso was a troubleshooting referee in ECW at the time. He said, no, choke slam's legal. 911 goes out, choke slams him. They have double tables and a dog collar. And I'm sure for purists, it's a little too much dip. But it was phenomenal. I just really enjoyed that hour of ECW. I've enjoyed, so many of Mick Foley's matches. I love Foley. He's such a great guy. He actually mentioned the line in his comedy show talking about Santa about Santa's still real to me, damn it. I was flattered. It's just unreal that he had done that. This is a guy that I grew up and I actually mowed his grass when he worked for WCW, and he was always such a nice guy, and is still super kind to me, and I can't say one bad word about him or his wonderful family. They're just awesome folks, and so many matches with the Midnight Express, with Ric Flair, Jerry Lawler, and Bill Dundee. Just so many different ones. It's so hard to pick one, but for some reason, that ECW match is sticking out with me. I've seen some great ones live, too. They've been so great, phenomenal.
The next one would be the best live event you've attended.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I enjoyed all the Peach State Wrestling shows. I definitely enjoyed, it was a show I worked on. Mr. Hughes had to go up to Memphis to work for Corey Macklin. He's like, hey, man, I need a ride. Of course, I'll give you a ride, Hughes. Yeah, we can do that. So I go up there to give him a ride, and I get to work as his manager. And while I was on the show, I was attending it, and I wish I had video of it. I come out there in his corner, and he wrestles beautiful Bobby Eaton with Jimmy Hart in his corner. I'm thinking about, Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers, where they're saying, one of these things is not like the other. Tell me which one does it belong. And, of course, it's me. But to be able to be involved in that talent was just unbelievable. And then the next day we went to Tupelo, and I got to work his corner against Nature Boy Buddy Landale, who is just such a phenomenal talent. I love Buddy to death. And just to be a part of that. While it's panned, I would say that I enjoyed all the center stage tape. Well, before I get that, I enjoyed all the center stage tapings. I enjoyed a lot of the all the tapings I've been to. I enjoy, while I was saying it's flat was panned, I enjoy the, I think the December to Dismember show, ECW show they had in Augusta, Georgia. Because, on a comical note, someone says, Dave, you got to get over here to where people are not being let in the door. It was real cold and everything. I go over there, and they were chanting, open the door, open the door. And then he started chanting, it's still real, it's still real. Just the trip. But then I think what tickled me was I got to see a world title change hands. Yes. Paul Heyman had left, and yes, people hated the show to a certain extent, but that was a big trip for me, to enjoy, to see a world title change hands. That was still a big deal to be able to do that.
phenomenal. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Enjoyed working with, enjoyed in, going back to Pell City for Dan Sawyer, enjoyed working with Mr. Hughes against Tommy Wildfire Rich, because he was Hulk Hogan in the 70s. Tommy Rich is a great, great guy, and he's always been cool to me, and I got to cut a promo on him and say, Tommy, so let me see here. You got the Rich family, the Party Patrol. It's Tommy Rich, Johnny Rich, and Davey Rich. Well, Tommy, you look like you ate Johnny and Davey. You're one of the greatest wrestlers of your time. But that was 79, baby. Your time's over with. Come on. We're going to give you a chance to retire. Come on down, buddy. Don't face Mr. Houston. He's going to destroy you. Just retire. We'll help you get a job. We'll go ahead and put that highlighter pin in your hand. You can stand in front of a Costco or a Sam's Club. You can do that. And that's a better career choice for you than facing Mr. Hughes, the man who took the urn out of Undertaker's hand. Then we got to work, and I even got to do a spot with Rich. That was just amazing and everything. Sorry about that. but I mean, you know, his history of that is real. That's what's missing, too. People don't realize how great a Tommy Rich was, how great, you know, Dutch Mantel was, as Dutch Mantel as opposed to Uncle Zeb. People don't realize that. People don't realize, you know, how great, you know, other folks were in the territories as opposed to what they may have been presented at on, like, the big stage of the WWF or the NWA. It's just really something that is, I think, missing from the day. But go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Who's your favorite wrestling manager of all time?
Oh, my Lord, that's a tough one. Whenever I have managed on some shows, I've stolen from many, and I will confess. Love Jim Cornette, very nice to me, think he's great. Kenny Bolin is phenomenal. I've been proud to know Bolin for a while, been proud to be able to meet him, have dinner with him. Really appreciated his work in OVW. Loved Stacy Cornette as Sin. Older managers, Teddy Long, his son went to school with me. I love Teddy. Yeah, I'm naming everybody because I can't answer it. When I met Skandor Akbar before he passed up in Charlotte, it was such a big treat. Also seeing the fans cheer and mark out for Skandor Akbar managing Kamala and beating up the babyface because Kamala was over that night, and so was Akbar. Percy Pringle, he carried a cane at one point. I carried a cane, too, and I stole that blatantly from Percy, and I got to meet him and spend a little time with him at the Gulf Coast Reunion. Phenomenal talent. Gary Hart, unbelievable. Bobby Heenan, how can you not have a discussion of managers about Heenan involved? Man, just so many different ones. I know I'm leaving out some, but, you know, it was just so great. J.J. Dillon, how in the world can you forget J.J. Dillon? I think Paul Heyman is fantastic currently as the manager of Brock Lesnar. When I'm watching wrestling and Brock Lesnar is on the stage with Heyman, I got to turn the TV up because I want to hear what he has to say. You know, I think Vince McMahon, while I wish he would go in a little bit different direction, I think that as a character, he is amazing. He is unreal. He always keeps his heat. He can be a great face or a great heel. I think he's a phenomenal heel. McMahon is just unbelievable, and that's the part he was meant to play. I think he needs to be careful because he's 70 years old, and you're not supposed to have that many muscles when you're that old, but for whatever reason, he's got them, and that's good for him, I guess. I just hope he's not injuring himself for whatever reason. Not that I'm accusing of anything, but
he just works out a lot. That's got to be it, yeah.
Who do you think is the best active wrestler today?
Oh, my Lord, there are so many. I don't know if I could put a name on one.
Well, give me two or three.
What a loaded question. I'm so impressed with so many. I could start naming them and not stop for an hour. I really enjoyed when the Bullet Club was around, seeing, because he's a super nice guy, Luke Gallows and the Machine Gun. I love those guys. I think AJ Styles is amazing. I'm a big fan of AJ for sure. Dolph Ziggler is phenomenal. Oh, man. EC3 is very good. Matt Hardy, I still enjoy watching him. Man, so many in the Georgia area that are just phenomenal.
Jimmy Rave just so turned it around and everything after he was in ROH for a while, but he has really come on his own in the Georgia area in the last few years, and it's just amazing. So different ones. Cedric Alexander, big fan of Whitmer, Carino. It's too hard to name, man.
We're good. I'm just excited
to see so many of them and just watch it. There's just so many great matches that you can see and all.
Well, I want to make it even harder for you then. So who would you put on an all-time pro wrestling Mount Rushmore, your personal Mount Rushmore, four guys all-time?
Oh, I don't know. I can't see how you wouldn't have somebody like a Jerry Lawler or a Ric Flair. Man, so many different people. How can you not see the great things Terry Funk has done? Shawn Michaels, what a phenomenal athlete, even though he had some problems at the time. Hulk Hogan, there's too many to name a Mount Rushmore. That puts me in a box so much.
Okay.
It's just the guy, I mean, there's so many of so many different times and territories. It's just phenomenal. Dusty Rhodes was phenomenal. Granted, as he got older, they gave him a lot of hard times about the Dusty finish. But, I mean, Dusty Rhodes was amazing. If someone hasn't Googled it, Google hard times with Dusty Rhodes when Ole Anderson turned on him. If you want to see how to evolve an angle, see how that is. For it took over a year for Ole Anderson to turn face, and he teamed with Stan Hansen and Tommy Rich, and then turns around and son of a gun, teams with Rhodes. He said, I was waiting with Gene Anderson saying he left the territory because he couldn't see me. He couldn't see me team with Tommy Rich or any of these good guys around here, or Lars Anderson. But then I said, should we ask you to be a partner? And then, no, Dusty Rhodes asked me to be his partner. I said, hey, Dusty, what about a fence? And then the Assassins and Ivan Koloff and Gene Anderson and Ole all jumped Dusty, and Dusty comes back and gives a heck of an interview and, you know, comes out there. And just, you want to see Dusty take on Ole and get his revenge, you know, just like in Memphis, you want to see Superstar Dundee and Jerry Lawler lock it up, because you know that Dundee thought he was better than Lawler and Lawler thought he was better than Dundee, even though they could work together. You knew there was something down below, and it worked. I think that, you know, overproducing the characters, I think that's hurt them and everything as far as it goes with folks like, you know, where, you know, you have to be this character. You have to be the Ascension. You have to be the Matadors. I think Roman Reigns was a heck of a character. Then they start trying to turn him into John Cena or Diesel or something. You know, if they do a double turn at Mania, that's one of their best shots to do, because let someone else talk for him. Let a Heyman talk for him, or Steph or Triple H or somebody, if that's the case. Or if they're going to turn him all the way, go all the way. But I think that, you know, I think we're missing something along the way on that. Is Roman Reigns talented? Absolutely. But with the way they're doing it, I don't get that. I don't get Shane McMahon against Undertaker. Will it sell some tickets? Absolutely. Will it sell pay-per-views and network subscriptions? Sure. But how are the fans supposed to feel? You got the Undertaker, who's beloved in his home state of Texas, taking on Shane McMahon, who wants Raw from the heel Vince McMahon. I don't get it. I don't understand the tweener aspect of it, or who is expected to be cheered for. Why is Undertaker doing McMahon's work? I don't think that's been as established as it should be. There's some details. I think they had a gentleman, who was it, Chris Kresge, maybe, in WWE with the writing, that had a flowchart of who liked each other and who didn't and who did that. That was when you had so many good things where, you know, that's what I miss seeing about wrestling. That's one thing about Southern wrestling. Going back to Continental, you said, what, you used to jump back on your original one of your original questions. Continental, okay. Wendell Cooley leaves the stud stable, turns babyface. Denny Davis, Nightmare, refuses to be his partner. No, I'm not teaming with him. He turned on me. No, has Denny turned heel? No. But he said, no, I got a problem with this guy. He stabbed me in the back. And it goes on for 2 or 3 weeks. He finally said, what can I do? What can I do? You know, retire, put your title up for a line, and just leave. He does. Then he's trying to come back and be his partner, and eventually he acquiesced. It takes talking to, I think, maybe by the Southern Boys. I don't know maybe the Bullet. I can't remember who all was in there. I know Ken Wayne was in there, Nightmares. But finally, Danny Davis said, when will Cooley make up? It made you think, hey, I wouldn't like this jerk if he stabbed me in the back neither. He's not my buddy. Why do I want to team with him? Just because he's mad at somebody else doesn't make him my buddy. It had an atmosphere of realism. You could believe that somebody like Wendell Cooley was Wendell Cooley. It's hard to believe that Stardust is really Stardust. No offense to Cody Rhodes, because I love him to death. He's a great guy. He's super nice to me. But you got to give a little more background, a little more backstory on it. I think the manager is not used like it should be. In Memphis, you had tons of managers. Jimmy Hart, Cornette, so many people. You know, how could I forget Jimmy Hart earlier? Akbar, like I said, Gary Hart, the list goes on. You had so many of those for guys who may not be the best at talking. Perhaps they could use someone like a face manager, maybe a Paul Ellering, who's another great manager, for a Reigns or something, you know. It's just something where I think they're missing it. Yes, I understand the WWE doesn't want to be old-time wrestling, Southern wrestling, but at the same time, there are benefits and things that work then that could work now. Everything old is new again. When you're looking at soap operas and stuff, you may see something like Empire, as I love the show Empire. You may see something like that, but a lot of these storylines have been written. Trouble in a company, family turning on each other. That was Dallas and Falconcrest. But it's turned different, it's tweaked, it's got a new spin, it's got new characters, it's got new issues, and it works today. Same way hair versus hair fashion. You know, the Nightmares had one of those at times. Hey, McMahon put his hair up against Donald Trump, who may be our next president. Who knows? We'll see how the convention goes, or if he gets the delegates. But that worked. That was an old-school Southern gimmick match. It's one thing to run from something. I mean, you know, I could run from and hide in a box and say, no, I'm not the crying wrestling fan and grow a goatee and shave my head. But at the end of the day, why? It is what it is. Hey, live up to it. And Vince McMahon, no matter how hard he tries, he wants to be in the entertainment business, World Wrestling Entertainment. He's still in the wrestling business. And you got to do what works. Because what's going on if you're looking at, you know, ratings and stuff, it's not doing as well as it should. Triple H's NXT, people are buying that and everything. I'd love to see if you put that on USA or another network for a little bit, just to see how that would go, just to see how, you know, the ratings would be, if people would buy into that more, because you get a little more reality in that. You get a little more athletic competition, a little less cartoony, a little less, you know, over storyline. I understand writers have the right to justify their positions and justify their salaries, but sometimes less is more. Sometimes you're saying, what's this doing on TV? This doesn't make any sense. I don't believe, you know, they're fighting on that. Okay, that's great. Is there comedy in wrestling? Sure, there can be some comedy in wrestling. Some of the stuff Adrian Street and Miss Linda did with Brenda Britton was hilarious. Some of the stuff that went on in Memphis make you laugh out loud. But a whole wrestling show isn't a comedy. It's, again, a hybrid. And I want to see a little bit of all aspects. I want to see some brawling. I want to see some acrobatics. I want to see some storylines. I want to see some great, great scientific wrestling. I want to see some really great matches with someone like AJ Styles and another superstar. I want to see something with some great brawling, like I was saying. I want to see the personal issues. Yeah, you went out and did this, you know. Look at, I think if I'm not mistaken, an angle in Memphis was something like, I think it was Don Green comes out there and says, hey, Jackie Fargo, you're a coward. You know, you're a joke, you're a coward, and your daddy's a coward. I think Fargo's like, hey, you don't say nothing bad about my daddy. My daddy's dead. He passed away. Well, your dead daddy's a coward. So you're missing some of that. They're missing some of that. You know, what are we fighting over? Are we really fighting over, you know, are we fighting over something that's not tangible? Or can you have something you can buy in? Look at the reality. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. Employee versus employer. I can relate to that. Now, I have a great relationship with my bosses right now and everything, but have I had issues with boss in the past? Absolutely. Who wouldn't want to go up there if you got a boss who's a jerk and give him a Stone Cold Stunner, douse him with beer? Most people. Who wouldn't want to go out there
you know, when you come up there, and Bill Dundee said, I'm the best, Jack. We beat everybody. And Lawler's like, wait a minute here. I don't want to start any cross anybody. You're a coward. No, I'm not a coward. I don't want to be your part. Well, I'll take your title then. I'll take your belt. I'll take your crown, King. You're like, wait a minute here, you know. You know, because you could see how that would work. And is it missing? Absolutely. If it came back, would it be an improvement? I think so. While there's family drama, it's all McMahon family drama. Variety is the spice of life. Let's see something else with somebody else. Let's see something else that's not diminished in return. You did this to my family. You know, we fought in Japan. I couldn't stand you then. Hey, I can't stand you now, you know. That's another thing with old school promotions. Dutch Mantel and Wendell Cooley go to Memphis. Dutch goes, I know you, I fought you before, I don't like you, and I still don't like you. And it worked. And you thought, man, and you felt smart along the way because you had followed it from square one. Hey, I saw that guy when he started. He's right, you know. And they're not brushing over it. They're not trying to do it. And it made you think, hey, this is great. Announcers are salesmen. They're not characters. Well, if I'm announcing a show, my job's not to be a character. I'm not to be announcer Dave Wills. My job's to be the salesman. I need to go up there, if I'm doing play-by-play, I need to tell you why you should like something, why you should dislike something, why you should want to cheer for the babyface or boo the heel or vice versa if I'm doing heel commentary. And I need to make sure you come to see next week. That's what the job is. If I tell the fans what's going on and they can believe it and I have credibility, then that gets me over anyways. And they say, okay, this is what's going on. We got order here. Let's go ahead. You didn't see Lance Russell get in the ring and put on a pair of tights. How many times did you see Gordon Soley or Charlie Platt go up there and stretch Robert Fuller and win the Continental title? Never. It wasn't believable. It wasn't. But that's one of the things I think we're sorely missing. Believability, realism, and some personal issues and a variety. Everybody can't be fighting over the same thing. And also elevation of new talent. You know, I knew if you came into Memphis, sooner or later, so I'd be elevating. Now, granted, you may not be elevated to the top, but you may be elevated and see him win the tag titles. In Continental, you know, Chris Colt shows up. He's fighting Wendell Cooley. Hey, he gets a run, and then, you know, Wendell Cooley gets in the Lose the Town match. Bye, Chris Colt. Bye. You know. And you had real-life characters back then. You know, I don't think in wrestling you're having someone like a Don Fargo, whose stories are legendary. You don't see that. You know, you see a lot of the guys look similar, where they're all muscled up and have great bodies and all. But, I mean, where's my Abdul the Butcher that I want to see? Where's my Joe LaDigna? Where is the Dusty Rhodes around? Where is Jimmy Golden, you know? Where's he? I want to see the guy who's tough, who just wants to beat somebody up. Where's Lord Humongous? At least he was similar to Undertaker. Hey, he was unstoppable, you know, at one time. You know, I'm a fan of Sid. I may be one of the few, but I thought he was. I really enjoyed seeing him and the way they brought him into Memphis, where he broke Jamie Dundee's neck. I was a huge fan. And if you present it, regardless whether they're small or big or whatever, if you present them seriously and show why they can beat somebody or why they can win the title or why they can defeat this great opponent or why can they can't defeat this guy who insulted their family or something, it works, because I think people will break their neck to see a fight, no matter whether it's a big guy or a little guy. Look at Conor McGregor in UFC. Look at your George St. Pierre. Do you have your Frank Mirs and your Brock Lesnar's? Absolutely. But presented right, I think there's a lot of possibility. I think WWE can learn a lot from UFC still. And I think that next, NXT, I think they are learning. I think they can learn something from watching their own product, NXT. I'm really impressed with that. Well, and I ramble on.
No, that's well said, Dave. And you make a lot of great points. And people should definitely check out DaveWillsWrestling.com. And Dave Wills, it's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for talking to us.
I appreciate that bit. If I could plug, if you want to get with me, I'm KZ on Twitter, as a matter of fact. It's Steel Real Dave, @SteelRealDave. That's a good way to get in touch with me. I do a little bit of stuff. I'm doing very little wrestling, but if anyone looking to have me as a guest announcer or manager or whatever, I might be amenable to that. Situations, right? And it works for my schedule as well. And
always hit me up on Twitter. I appreciate hearing from folks, and I really appreciate, again, the good work you do for AL.com and all the fine work that you've done on wrestling, and I really look forward to reading it. I would recommend this to anyone, and it's definitely must read, and I think you also can get to the website from itsstillrealtome.com. I need to check later, but as well. But Dave was wrestling at itsstillrealtome.com and at Still Real Dave on Twitter. I'll stay on Facebook, really, but I'm sure I'm there too. But anyways, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for listening to me babble for a while. And thanks for the opportunity to appear on your program.
Rammer Slammer is produced and edited by Ben Flanagan for the Alabama Media Group and AL.com. Find us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Rammer Slammer. Thanks for listening.
Hi there, I'm Dave Wills, the crying wrestling fan from Tosh.0 on YouTube, and you're listening to Rammer Slammer right here on AL.com. Let me tell you, Rammer Slammer, it'll sue me, damn it.